Professor Kors, Pirkei Avos, Shlishi.
We began yesterday Perek Gimel. So, as we said yesterday, it's one of the most famous Mishnayos we're going to read. It's the Mishnayos in every Levaya, they read a couple. Almost every Levaya, that's how big Levaya begins. When they go to the Mikkel, take to be buried. They usually read this Mishnah, a very famous Mishnah, but we try and understand it a bit to be evil. Try and understand what the Mishnah is trying to tell us. So first of all, the Mishnah is by Akavya ben Mahalel. So as we ask the first the question, we didn't know his. It didn't appear, this name, Akavya ben Mahalel, it was a great Tana, but it does not appear much in the Mishnah. I mean, you won't find much quotes from him, according to the Mishnah. But, first of all, according to his name, we can know more or less which generation he lived. Because his name was Akavya, and not Rabbi Akavya.
Right.
And he lived in which generation? Let's talk about
it. That's on page 34.
Which generation is it?
So,
according to his name, it means that he lived in the greater times of the Tanaim before they were called rabbi. Now, as we know, the first one to be called rabbi was more or less famous one was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. As we know, he was called Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. But before him, who was his rabbi? He was a student of who? Of Hillel. So as we see, Hillel was not called Rabbi Hillel, not called Rabbi Shammai, right? And it's a big difference. I mean, it is called a different area of time. I mean, we have the time of Tanaim that begins in the time of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Before that, it's called Tkufat HaZugot, the time of the couple. Because before that, you had couples. You began from the Hashmonites, from Rabbi Yosef ben Yerza and Rabbi Yosef ben Yochanan, and then the Tinglish and Socho, and so on and so on. And the famous ones of Shimon ben Shotach and so and Tabai, they were couples. One was a Nasi, one was a president of the head, I would say the political head of the religious Jewish body, Jewish people, and one was the Av Beis Din, the head of the Beis Din. He was more the religious part, less the political part. Now, as we know, Hillel and Shammai. Hillel was a Nasi. He was a president. Had certain political aspects to his position. That's Hillel. And Shammai was Av Beis Din, the head of the Beis Din. Now, Akavya ben Mahalel was in the same generation of Hillel and Shammai. And the Mishnah says in Eduyot, Mishnah in Eduyot says he was greater than all of the Tanaim of his generation. Was greater than Hillel, greater than Shammai, the Mishnah says. No one greater than him in wisdom and in Yirat Shammai. In both aspects, he was the greatest Tana of his generation. Now, you had Hillel. Hillel was the Nasi. We'll go into it, how he became the Nasi, how he became the president, the head of the Jewish people. That's the story behind it. But he became the head of the Jewish people. Then he needed a couple, yeah? He needed his partner, yeah? Now his partner was, should be the Av Beis Din, the head of the Beis Din. Akavya ben Mahalel was the one who was meant to be the partner of Hillel. And if it would be that way, you would hear always Hillel and Akavya, Hillel and Akavya. You won't hear about Hillel and Shammai. You would hear about these two, Hillel, Akavya, Hillel, Akavya. You won't hear Hillel and Shammai. What happened? What happened was that he had an argument with the Sanhedrin. and certain issues, we're going to go into it. We learned it yesterday, went into the issues, and we'll go into it again. In certain issues, he had arguments with the Sanhedrin, and he was the greatest of them all of them. Yeah. And he heard from his rabbis a certain opinion in these issues. But the most of the Sanhedrin argued with him, had a different position. They said, well, you should change your position, because if we teach this way and we are the majority, we have a halakha in the Torah, Hachrei Rabim Lahatot. That says in the Torah, Hachrei Rabim Lahatot. We go according to the majority. He didn't agree. He didn't agree. He said, and the Mishnah explains later why he didn't change his mind. He didn't change his mind because he claimed that he heard what he taught, he heard from the early Basin of the time of Shmuel and Naftalion. They were the earlier Basin. That's what he heard from the majority of his time.
Yeah.
So he said, well, I can't change.
Because, I'm doing the majority.
Yeah. I represent the majority of the earlier Basin. I can't change. So he told him, well, do you know, if you change your mind, we're going to make you the head of the Sanhedrin. Not Shammai, we're going to make you. Because you're the one who deserves it. You're the one who should be the head of the Basin. But you must change your opinion. I mean, you should teach differently.
You can't teach
it. Yeah, you shouldn't teach it. He said, well, as it says, a famous saying, he says, better to be called a shoiter, an idiot, all my life, because they gave me such a good offer and I didn't accept it. Better to be called an idiot all my life and not. They shouldn't say that he changed his mind and changed his opinion in order to get this job, in order to get this position. I'm not going to change my opinion. And that's it. So he stuck to his teachings and the way he taught. He didn't change his mind. So they excommunicated him. Put him in Nidui.
Wow.
And that's why you won't find many teachings from him. Almost nowhere. He was the greatest. And when he died, and when he passed away, as we learned yesterday, the Mishnah said they put a stone on the mitah, on his stone.
Do we know where he's buried?
Like Skila. What?
Do we know where he's buried?
Well, there is a certain, I would say, tradition, Masoret. He's buried in the Galil. Yeah.
Somewhere in the Galil. But where, we don't know.
Yeah, yeah, we know where.
We know where.
Yeah, yeah. It's not far from Tzipori. That's where. That's so where the Hazis too. Kaveh ben Mahalel.
So is this a fundamental disagreement in how the Torah world should operate? Like how, or was it that he was making an exception?
Oh, so I'll just add a point. Yeah. Yeah. The reason they put a stone on it was, as Adam said in film, it was like skila. Because really, you have halacha in the Torah. We do know in the Torah, there's such an halacha. Yeah. Like most of the Sanhedrin, teach one way and decide on one certain opinion. They have a certain decision. Then the whole basis needs to go according to it. And if not, there's an halacha. Boy, does already have a lot of halachot about it. It's called a zaken mamre. Elder rebellion. Say that will be a translation. Meaning his. He was one of the elders. Yeah, one of the elders.
There.
He was one of the Sanhedrin. That's a Zaken Mamre. He's one of the Sanhedrin, but his rebellion.
Well, his teaching.
And he's teaching him. He's teaching his teachings. That it says in the Torah, you stone him. You kill him. Why? Because there's halacha, you go upon the majority, and the Torah doesn't want the Jewish people to split into many tribes, many opinions, many ways of life. Just break the whole Jewish people, break the Jewish people. So we have one way. If Sanhedrin decides, that's it. Everyone needs to accept it. He did not.
And move on.
What?
And move on.
Yeah.
But his point was an interesting point in halacha. His point is that, well, you know, that was a greater Sanhedrin. and I went by the Greater Sanhedrin.
An earlier Sanhedrin, yeah.
But no, it wasn't the earlier one. He's claiming it was a greater one.
Uh-huh, greater. And who was it?
Shmuel
of Talion. The teachers of Hillel and Shammai. Then Hillel.
It was a greater Sanhedrin.
Yeah. Yeah, but what was he saying? That everyone should go like that as well? Should everyone
yeah.
should function? Was he saying everyone
he
should function like that?
He said they got the ruling
like
wrong. And
right.
he caught it.
Well, okay, but it's one thing to say that the ruling
is
wrong, but it's another to say...
So it's interesting. Maybe in the beginning it did, but the Mishnah says, it's something
yeah.
interesting. He said that before he passed away, his son came to him.
Yeah.
And then he told his son he shouldn't go according to what he teaches, go according to what they teach.
Yeah.
Because he says, why? Because you need to go according to what the majority says. You didn't hear Shmuel Naftali. I did. You didn't.
Right. I'm bound by
so
it. You're not bound
yeah,
by it.
It's a complicated question.
Right, but is he saying that anyone who
so
it was from his generation is bound by it? Or is he saying just
anyone
himself?
Anyone who heard it from Shmuel
Naftali.
They wouldn't have stoned him. They
yeah.
wouldn't have put him on excommunication if he didn't go back to his place and teach it.
Yeah.
If he had just held the opinion and said, oh, I don't agree,
right,
I'm going to teach him the opinion. Sanhedrin says, fine.
Right.
But it says in the Gemara, when he goes home and actually teaches
that's
the old teaching, that's the problem. So
right.
somewhere along the line, he didn't just, oh, we disagree or whatever. I'm going to go back to my Ben Midrash. I'm going to go
right.
teach it that way.
Yeah.
Right. But it was he's,
that's
okay.
what was happening.
Okay, thank you. So is he saying?
So the answer to your question is,
yeah.
if it's someone that the same like he,
yeah.
he was,
yeah.
heard it
yeah.
from Shmuel Naftali.
Yeah,
I would say, well, maybe he should do the same because he also hated it.
Well, that's at the end of his life.
That's what I'm wondering,
that's
right? That, or is he saying that this is something he personally took on himself, but would not recommend?
But
if
someone in the same position
maybe, yeah.
in the beginning, yeah,
yeah.
maybe would say the same thing.
He
yeah.
probably in the beginning would say, no, you should take this is what I'm teaching. You should take this because this is the greater same idea. That's probably what happened. At the end of his life,
yeah.
it's sort of true. We're saying, no, you gotta go by this thing.
Yeah. So
something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
They wouldn't have done all this if
and,
he wasn't
and it was very, and,
if he wasn't teaching it.
And sure, because let's not forget,
yeah.
it was greater than them all.
Yeah.
I also said he was the greatest Tana. Akabe ben Mahalad in that generation. Now, so that's why we don't have many teachings about him. It seems like they, you know, took it out of the Mishnah, so we don't have, but here we have a few sayings, and we have this famous saying. It's interesting, it's probably one of the most famous Mishnahs known, and this is what he said. He says Akavi ben Mahalel used to say, Histakel b'shlosha devarim, you should look in three things, ve'i ata ba ledei avera, you should try and look. Meaning, you know, not no, it doesn't mean, you know, just take in mind, yeah, and live according to it. Three things. And if you do it, you won't do any avos. You keep to the mitzvahs. That's he's giving us advice. How should you keep the Torah? What?
I didn't hear it that well. Can you say it repeat yourself?
He said there's three things that every one of us, if he doesn't want to do avos, he wants to keep the mitzvahs and not fall into any sins, he should always look in his mind, always think about three things, three issues. He should ask himself three questions. Now, what are the three questions? What are the three things he should take in mind? So it counts. One, two, three. First, it brings the question. Dama en bata. Know from where you come from. ולאן אתה הולך? And where are you going to? ולפני מי אתה עתיד לתן דין וחשבון? And in front of who you're going to give your account of life? In front of who you're going to be responsible in everything you're doing? These are the three questions. And if you think about it, yeah. So, dame ein bata, bain bata. The first question is where you come from. Where do we come from?
We go all the way back to Avraham Avinu, Yaakov.
Yeah. What?
What?
That's your answer. We'll see what his answer is. Your answer.
What he said, dear.
So he says, know from where you come from, tipasocha, from a drop, a small drop you come from. You know, every one of us, like trees, we come from a seed. That's where we come from. Now, you could look at it in a few ways. One way is to think about, you know, who are you? Where did you begin? Like a small seed, that's who you are. It's one way to look at it. Every way to look at it,
from the false you say. A seed is Hashem blowing into the summer.
Exactly. What a miracle. What a miracle is creation seed. Every one of us is.
For Yehudi, it's the breath of Hashem in us.
So, if we look at it in the positive time, is what he's saying, you know. From somewhere so special, every one of us, every human being is a miraculous creation. Well, we know there's three, as the Gemara says, Shlosha Shutafim Ba'adam, there's three partners who create you, the human being. His father and mother and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the main part is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So every one of us is a miracle, a walking miracle. Yeah? So if we take it in mind, how every one of us, where we come from, and how every one and one of us is such a miracle in his creation, every minute of living is a miracle, he'll understand how he's, you know, he's a representative of the mystery of the creation of God in the world, every one and one of us. Just think about it. Know how you are, how special you are, every one and one of us. So that's for the first question, where you come from. The second question is, and that is probably why every Levite said, Da la'an ata holech, you should know where you're going to. Where are you going to?
Huh? He's all the ball again.
Oh. But here, it seems to be talking about the physical body, right?
He's talking about the physical body. He's saying that the physical body is going to Makom Afar, a place of earth, Rima and Tolea, and worms. That's where we're going to. He's talking about our body. So he's saying where we end, the body ends, you know.
Right. It used to be, and also at the times of the Mishnah, right then, it was mandated that when a person, after a person dies, that they're first buried for a year, I think, is that correct? They're first buried a year in a shallow grave, specifically a shallow grave. Right, so I think for the decomposition.
Yes, and then they used to take the bone, put it in a cover made of stone, and put it into a small pot, like a small hole they put in the cave, right? That's called Likut Atzomos,
So now I think now it's like standard was like 2 meters.
Today the standard is the very, just very regular,
Now I think it's
maybe it could be different today. But then the end of all of us is, you know, the body ends. And not in a very, you know, pleasant, no pleasant way to put it. But we should take it in mind. Take it in mind in order to not to sin. You know, everything is everything is limited.
Where are you going to
time
say
is limited.
I'm going into the ground.
Yeah?
It doesn't
make any sense. Yeah, everyone's going to know it.
We all know it, but we don't think about it. And that's how when we go to Levaya, that's how they say, well, now it's the time to think about it.
So what? You go into the grave. There has to be more to that saying than that.
He's saying, what's sin? How does it keep you away from sinning? That's the asking.
Yeah, we're going to pray.
When you realize that the body...
The first thing I can understand, all right? Hey, Charlie, did a shovel with born to you from a bosom? Not from another person, not from your mother, not from your father. It was blown in from both. But this other one, you're going to go to the ground. So what? We're all going to go to the ground. That's not going to keep you staying in religion.
But it's like, you know...
The first one, yes.
Look.
If you keep on thinking that way.
So we'll see all the three parts, and then we'll try and see how does it relate with the sin, as the way the sages look at the sin. Okay? We'll have a look at it.
Okay.
We're asking good questions. We'll analyze it after we finish the three parts.
Yeah.
The last part is, and then just keep it in mind, you're asking good questions. Now, the third part of the question you should think about and answer yourself is, in front of who you're going to give account on your life, on every minute of what you did or you didn't do. And that is in front of me, in front of who? Lifnei melech, malchei ha-melechim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The kings of kings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's who you're going to give. That's who you're going to give. And as I'm reading here from Rashi, it says v'zachoret baruch hu. It says, quoting from Mishnah, it says, you remember who created you. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he's the one who will have to give account on every act. Don't forget that. So he moves to the spiritual part. Now, as you ask a good question, you know what I mean? Okay, there's like these three aspects. So, I mean, these are the three things that stop you from Averus. I mean, what's the... About what sort of sins also is it talking about? I mean, what is the conflict that it stops you from? So, there's an interesting explanation who says, the Maharal says in the Mishnah, that there are three great major bodies of sins. All the Averus go into it, and they're divided into three. And the Mishnah says, Hakina, Hatava, Vakavod. These are the three sins. Whoever falls into it, kina, tava, and kavod, motziim et adam ha'olam, they take him out of the world. These are the great sins. Kina, tava, and kavod. Kina is when you are jealous in someone and you have kina, you want for yourself. You want to get for yourself something to create you know, negative feelings to you, to the others, to society. That's kina. It's part of kina. The third one is tava. You want, it's tava is, you know, you want to, you have, a, you, the yitzhara, yeah, this persuades us to do averus because of the side of tava. We have our low wills, so to say it, or low desires. The third thing is kavod. You want honor, you want kavod, you want ownership. You want them to honor you. And it's interesting because these three parts, we just learned now, we're going to learn now, Parshas Balak, right? Yeah? And the Mishnah says, learns from Bilam what you shouldn't do. And these are the three things Bilam, it says, you shouldn't be a Talmud of Bilam. That Bilam had these three bad habits, these three bad midot. He had a bad ein ra'a, meaning he was jealous about others. He looked at others as in jealousy. It's called ein ra'a, bad eye. Yeah? Like he looked at Am Yisrael, he tried to look at them negatively. That's Ayn Ra. And that comes from Kin'ah. I mean, all he wants for himself. And if he doesn't get it, and sees someone who's better than him, then say, oh, happy. He's not happy. He's jealous. That's Ayn Ra, someone who has a bad eye. Ayn Ra. The other part is Tava. We see it also in Bilam. You had great desires. You wanted to be very rich. If he wasn't rich enough, he says, Imi, tenli, balaki, tenli. Hon kol beto, even give me all his money, all what he has, still it won't be enough. So the Mishnah, the Medrash learns from it that he was, as it's called, ruach echava. I mean, he wanted it all. Greed. That's tava. It was greedy. Yeah, it's also part of a bad desire, low desire. What did he want? Money. That's kavod. That's tava. The third thing is kavod, wants honor, and he can have gaiva, you know, because he fuels himself, you know. That's gaiva. These are the three bodies of sins that if we look well, you can see that all the sins have got to do with one of these. Yeah. all that verse, you know, of Bosso Becholo, Nevelo, Treifus, and all that has got to do with Taiva. The Torah teaches us get away from it. You don't eat everything. You don't need to eat everything. Not everything you see you should eat. Not everything you see you should drink. Yeah, keep away. That's and if it's that's the most of the mitzvahs that have got to do with what you eat, what you don't. Then you have part of mitzvahs that have got to do with the parts of kinah, I mean how you should behave to others. How you should behave to others with love. And you should help others. And now you should feel yourself how you're part of society. And you should relate positively to others. Yeah, that's the most of the mitzvahs that have got to do with Ben Adam Lechavero. All the mitzvahs got to do with Ben Adam Lechavero have got to do with this idea. The opposite of it is kina, meaning I don't want that ever should happen. All I want is for me. That's the opposite of love. That's the opposite of Vahavta Lecha Kamocha. The opposite. If you love others, Vahavta Lecha Kamocha. If you love others, like you love yourself. Yeah, what's the opposite of it? Kina, I want it for me. I don't want he should be like me. I have kina. Yeah. And the third part that's got to do with avoidance of Hashem. All the mitzvahs have got to do with how we should love Hashem. You got to do the idea of kavod and gava, meaning we know we're not we for ourselves. We as our own are nothing. Yeah. We don't deserve anything. We don't deserve any kavod. We don't deserve any honor. What we have is from Hashem. And if you love Hashem, and if you understand your place in the world in front of Hashem, yeah, then you'll be humble. You won't have this desire of kavod. So really, all of the Torah, if you look at all of the Torah, you can divide it into these three parts. One part is the part of you should keep your desires, put them, you know, fight against each other. One part. So you should deal with how you should develop yourself to have a strong personality with a high spiritual level, not to run after every tava, the desire you have. That's one part. The second part is how you should love each other. It's all the mitzvahs, so many mitzvahs. It's Daka, the mitzvah of Peah and Shikha and Olelot, how you should give others. All the mitzvahs of Mishpatim, or in Parshas Mishpatim, yeah, how we should help others, or we should behave to others. That's the second part. And the third part is, you know, the basic of Ben Adam Lamakom, between you and God, us and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We should love God. We should understand how a place in the world in front of God. And in that way, we know that there's no reason to run after Kavod. Hashem is Melech HaKavod. Hashem is the King of Kavod.
Interesting, right? For Shatness, you'd say, oh, where does Shatness come? So the Rambam writes in the commentary to the Mishnah 9.3 in Kalayim that he says that Shatness is an unusual avera, because he says that the garment is not any warmer, it's not any cooler, it's not any more fashionable, works exactly the same way as any other garment. And there's no quality like, oh, I want the taste of porkness, or I want this avera because I want the taste of lobster, the flavor of that, right? There's not any attribute, he says. There's no attribute. He says you're doing it just because you're trying to, yeah, because Hashem said don't do it. That's why you're doing it. That's why you're not doing it.
So it's a part of kavod.
Yeah, part of kavod. So he puts it over there.
Servant of
Hashem.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Right. Although I guess it would also be a category of where a person is in a sense lazy.
Puts limits, maybe.
Like they don't want to take the trouble to when they should have to get the garment checked.
That's just negligence.
Right, negligence, right.
Like,
so that's
somebody who's like...
Yeah.
That would be like the part of, you know, not to go according to your low desires. You know,
right. Or they don't, right. Or they don't want to pay that $10, $15
to build your personality. I don't care about it. I'm going to do the Shatness jacket.
Yeah.
You're not doing the Shatness jacket because it's warmer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You get no benefit from it.
Yeah.
You're doing it because the Shem said not to do it.
Uh-huh.
To vote for it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Thought that was really interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's the wrong one.
Uh-huh.
Not Adam.
Good. So, as we know, if I'm quoting the Mishnah, it's one of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hebe mitalmidov shel Avraham Avinu. You should be a student of Avraham Avinu, and not a student of Bilam. Bilam had all these three bad ports. He had Kina, he had Tava, he had Kavod. All of them. And Avraham Avinu, our father. Yeah. Avraham Avinu, he had all the three qualities. All the three qualities. Positively. He loved everyone. He used, you know, he opened his tent, yeah, to everyone. He tried to do, to love everyone, every human being, and he saw the holiness in every human being and the specialness in everyone. Every human being, you know, he's a creature of God. He deserves my love. He deserves I should work, even if he didn't, you know, that was when Avraham Avinu began his work in the world. There weren't many believers. How did he manage to get them to, as we say, tachat kanfei Shekhinah? I love this saying, under the wings of the Shekhinah. It's a beautiful way of putting it, you know? The wings of the Shekhinah. How did he do it? It was love. He opened his tent. Everyone who came to his tent, he gave him to eat, he gave him to drink. He gave him respect. He gave him his love. And then he spoke about it, you know, you don't thank me, thank Kadosh Baruch Hu, it all comes from us. It all comes from him, to us. All comes from Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's as the Mishnah says, Ein Tovah, he had a good eye. That's a good eye. That was one very special, one special way he taught us, to have a good eye. The second one was, he was humble. He didn't. He loved Hashem. He worked for Hashem. He knew his place in front of Hashem. Yeah. And he knew that he himself doesn't deserve any honor. The relationship between him and God is a relationship of king and servant, father and son. And that's what he taught. And the third thing is, he, as we all know, Avraham Avinu tried to fight the Yitzhar, to fight his lower desires, and to keep as much as he can the mitzvahs. And as we know, as he taught us, even was willing to sacrifice his son. Unbelievable deed he did. That till today, as we know, always when we have, you know, till today, always when we have a certain special occasion when we need to pray and ask forgiveness from God, we always remind the Kadosh Baruch Hu, please remember Avraham Avinu, he's great. Our great Avraham Avinu, our father. So these are the three parts. Now, if we look at the Mishnah, we can see, I'm quoting again the Maharal says it, these three things are. We can see that they're related to these three parts. The first part is know from where you come from. And if you know from where you come from, if we go from the second explanation is how every one and one of us has a spark of God in us. Every one and one of us is holy. Every human being, not only Jews, Gadol Adam Shel Avraham Betzalel, everyone and one of us is created in the image of God. Everyone and one of us is holy. So everyone and one of us deserves love and deserves help and deserves a positive attitude to him and understanding and mercy. And that is the first part, you say. If you keep that in mind, how every one and one of us is a walking miracle, how can you not love him? How can you not respect him? Every one of us, every human being. That's the first part. The first part is having a good eye, dame ein bat, know from where you come. Dame ein bat. The second part is la'an ata olech, know where you're going to. That's against the part of ta'ava. The first one is kin'as against ta'ava. If you have desire to something, well, it usually comes from the body, yeah, the lower part of our creation, not from the neshama. It comes from the body, the lower part of a human being. Yeah, remember where it comes from. Yeah, if you remember where it ends, and you remember where it ends, then you know not to go according to it. You try and go according to the neshama, according to the Yetzer Tov, according to your soul, not according to the desires of materialistic desires. Because we know how it ends. Yeah, maybe now he'll eat something, it will taste good for a minute or two.
Right, right.
Then what will be? What will it end with?
Yeah.
Yeah, or maybe you're going to work hard, you know, work day and night, you'll get something, you'll get some money, you'll get a nice house. You know. But what will it end with? What will you gain in the end? Nothing. So why? Go according to it. That's the negative. The positive side is, as you said, well, we have also our spiritual part. That's tava, yeah. And the last, but look how it's exactly the same order. It's just amazing. This explanation is amazing. It's the same order, tava, kavod, yeah. How you should fight the idea of kavod. You shouldn't have the desire of kavod. That's really a spiritual desire, yeah, yeah. But it's a spiritual desire. It's against. When you forget the existing of God in your life. That's when you say, well, I deserve, I'm Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm a big Rosh Hashiva, I'm a big politician, I deserve this, I deserve that. Who is the King of Kings? Who is the owner of everyone? Who is the owner of everything? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That will remind you to get away of the tava, the desire of kavod. So really, Akari Mahalel is giving us a good advice. He's telling us, you know, we know these three bodies of Averis. Kina, tava, and kavod. These are the Averis, the whole Torah is talking about how we should get away from. And these are the three parts we should learn how to be the students of Avraham Avinu and not the students of Bilam and Rosha. Well, it's difficult, it's not easy. So I'll give you advice how you do it. Remember these few things. Where you come from. Where are you going to? Well, you shouldn't run after your desires. And between me, I thought, who is over us? Who is over all? Rules over all of us. That's what he's telling us. These few parts. You know the story of the socks? You know the story of the socks? Reichman and the socks. You ever hear the story?
Yeah.
You've heard it?
Yeah, you can't be better with your socks.
Yeah. There was certain rabbi. He told me he wanted to he gave a course. He gave a course. He wanted to give he's someone in Canada. He wanted to give a course. He was giving out a course about advice. How to develop your life, make it better, and how to focus on what is important in life, not to fall in, you know, focus on what's important in life. So he told me, well, he made this course, the first course. It's a very important course. Yeah, you know, I mean, that's the whole Torah is about it. The whole Torah is about it. You know, these three parts. When it was like, you know, half secular community he was in, somewhere in Winnipeg. He put a notice in the paper, just give me open this base medrash, just wanted to be sure. No one came. A few people came that. Next year, what he did, someone gave him this advice, he heard this story, later on. If you didn't hear the story, I'll repeat it. Adam would help me with it. What he did is he said, come to this course. He sent out in the house in the neighborhood to come to this, offer this course, and he sent with everyone, and one was the notice of the course, a pair of socks. So if you want to know why I'm sending a pair of socks, you should come to the first year. And if you come to the first year, you'll know why. Why I send you a pair of socks. And the reason was, and the, what? Yeah, everyone, it was packed. It was packed. You can't walk in for so many people. because the story is like this. There was this famous philanthropist and very, very rich from the Reichmann family in Canada. Probably you hear about Edward Reichmann. He owns the Waddell. He owns the Waddell First Trip Astoria Hotel here in Jerusalem, in East Jerusalem. He was a very, very special, very, very special, very special man. Very racial mind. Yeah, big tzaddik. Almost all his money he gave to tzedakah. He was very close to Rav Shach. Everything Rav Shach says he should give to, he gave. Like most of his money has helped to shield, has helped to break, and helped everyone. And when his business went bad, he says, because I didn't give enough. And then he gave even more. And he went out. Big tzaddik. Anyway, but he still was very rich. And when he passed away, he left two letters of wills. He said one should open once I passed away, but before you bury me, you should open it. The second one should open only 30 days after, 30 days after you bury it. Only then you should open it. Two wills. You never heard the story?
No.
It's an amazing story.
I didn't know
what?
I didn't know it was true.
But you've heard about it. Yeah. So the first one was they opened the first letter, and the first letter said, "Well, these pair of socks I love very much. Please bury me with these socks." So they went. Yechesi, you hear that story? So they didn't. They went to the Beis Din, went to the rabbi. He says, "No, there's a halacha. You shouldn't bury anyone. There's anything. Only with a talis. Nothing to do about it." Well, he said, they didn't do it. They buried him without the socks because there's a halacha. Then. 30 days when they opened the second
one. They found a heter in Ordinance.
They didn't find anything.
They found a heter. They
couldn't find anything.
Okay.
They went to Shach. The rabbi said, "No, nothing you can do about it." And he even said, he said, "If you forward know that it's not allowed, I won't think it would be good." Something like that, the rabbi said. It was a racial mind, wasn't it? So they didn't. Then when they opened the last wheel, what it said there was, "Well, you see, I had these socks, and I was so rich, and I could ask anyone to do anything, but what's the end? The end is you can't even get buried with your favorite socks. Even that you don't miss. Don't forget." So that's why he sent the socks. Now the whole idea was saying, we all have our life. And we want this, and we want that, and we have guy, we have time, we have covered, and we went after this, and we went after that. But what stays in the end is our spiritual life, spiritual part. Let's not forget it. And I would say that's really why this mission is the pair of socks, because this is what Rabbi Mahalalel is saying. Yeah, that's the idea of what he's saying. And that's why, exactly that's why, I think, that's why this Mishnah is quoted in every Levi. Every Levi they quote this. Why? Because this guy, if we look at the basic idea of this Mishnah is, and that's why it's so important and so basic, is this idea. What is important? It's our spiritual part of life. We're all with Hashem, in front of Hashem, the holiness of Hashem. That's our life, and that's I would say would be the pair of socks of a Kaviv and Mehalel. And every Levaya, it said. And in some ways, always when you think about the story of a Kaviv and Mehalel, it's a tragic story, but in some ways, the story of life and the idea that his mission, what one thing is left, is still quoted and said over and over in every generation, in some way, tikkun to his greatness. Such a great Tana. So in one way we lost this body of knowledge, Milton's body of knowledge, this, the Milton teachings of life, stayed forever, forever and ever. And it's something, this Mishnah, one of them, I would say, one of the most basic Mishnahs in Jewish thought. This tells us what the basic of it is, what's the basic sin, and saying what the way to stop it, what's the way to get away of it. And it's all a very short sentence. It's all here. Okay. I think the next Mishnah was already next.
It's
okay. Okay.